If you haven't heard, Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Yeah, boy, was that something to behold.
And it sounds a little different.
Maximum!
That is a brutal ball.
Settle in, get yourself a brandy.
Triple M, rockin' Test Cricket.
And after almost losing the unlosable, Australia takes a 1-0 lead into the second test.
It's Yorker. Oh! I reckon that's out! It is out!
Live from the Triple MCG, it's day 5 of Australia and Pakistan.
Triple M. Triple M.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Yes, and welcome to the fifth day of the Boxing Day Test match. Australia leading by 22. What will happen today? Well, there's plenty ahead for us to look forward to. But if you missed yesterday, we're going to go to a package now of highlights. And then we'll be back with Narelly Meadows and Peter Siddle pitch side.
Riaz to Khawaja, edge, and he's out. Usman Khawaja goes on 97.
When this ball is full, played, and he's out. Hanscom has gone for 54.
Smith on strike. That is a glorious cover drive.
In bowls to Madison. He's used his feet. He's bowled.
Wade. Edge. Oh. Caught. Great catch by the first slip.
Bowls to Mitchell Starc, who just smashed that out of the ground. Gets off the mark with a maximum. Khan comes in to bowl to the Australian captain. He cuts.
Got it through.
Will this be the 100 for Steve Smith? It will be his 100. 100 not out. You are a superstar. Stephen Smith, that's his 17th Test century.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Yes, and welcome back to the MCG. Super day yesterday, even though we had some bad weather. Gus Wallum with you and Kerry O'Keefe. Good morning to you, Kerry. How are you?
I'm very well, Gus. Good morning to you. Good morning, everybody.
Look, you looking forward to today?
I am. It's full of scenarios. A draw looks an inevitable result, but you never know.
You never know. Let's go pitch side. Narelly Meadows is down there with Peter Siddle. Narelly, what's happening down there?
Well, fair to say, Peter, there's not much doing with this wicket.
No, there's not. I went out and had a look earlier and, yeah, it looks like it's still day 2 wicket. We're on day 5. There's only been about 3 days all up of cricket played on the wicket. But, yeah, not much breaking up, not many footmarks. So it's going to be tough to see a result today. But, you know, if Australia can get enough ahead and put a bit of pressure on Pakistan, that there might be half a chance.
We've got the skipper, Steve Smith, resuming on 100. He averages 114 here at the MCG. You know him obviously very well as a captain. What makes him such a great leader?
I think what he does, but he leads by performance, and I think that's what the blokes follow. I think him out in the field, you know, he puts in the performances. As we've seen here, he's led from the front. He's had some good partnerships along the way with Usman Khawaja and Peter Hanscom. So hopefully, yeah, Mitchell Starc can hang around with him for a little bit here. They can get these runs up, and they'd probably be looking to get at least 150 ahead, maybe more if they can get quick enough. But, yeah, and see how they go off the ball later on this afternoon.
Gus, as the Pakistanis come out onto the field, the good news is I've spoken to Pakistan and they say Azhar Ali has pulled up fine after he copped that nasty blow to the head from Matthew Wade's bat. So that is great news. We will see him bat if he's required.
Beautiful, Narelly. Thank you. And thanks so much for Peter Siddle as well. We appreciate that. And that pitch report for Triple M, pitch report for California Sports Services. California Sports Services, add the world's finest sports services to your school, club or home court. And just talking about those collapses and the fact that if Australia can get 150 ahead, Kerry, just in the last couple of test matches for the Pakistanis before they came here in Christchurch, they lost 10 for 102. And then in Hamilton, they lost 9 wickets in the last session. They were 10 for 99. So they have got a little bit of form there. Collapsing in the fourth innings.
Well, look, there is that possibility, Gus. Panic Stan was their name back in the 70s, and that can happen with this current team. We've seen that, as you say. But this is a pretty good pitch. You would think not. I'm very interested this morning. Steve Smith is a natural stroke player. The mantra will be play your natural game. Starc likes to hit the ball. But then there's Hazelwood, Lyon and Bird. Not much there. So were Smudger to go early, Steve Smith the captain, Australia could get bowled out pretty rapidly with a lead of around 50 or 60. But it all come down to what mood Pakistan are in. Are they committed to the draw? How much left have Hazelwood, Bird and Starc, given their workloads in recent times? Can Lyon get a lot out of this? What is a fifth-day pitch, but is actually a third-day pitch, and it's a drop-in. So it looks draw. Second favourite Australian victory. I don't think Pakistan are in a position where they can win. They'd have to take 14 Australian wickets on the last day of a test match. That's most unlikely. So draw heavily favoured, possibility Australian victory, but we'll see how it unfolds.
Welcome back to the MCG for the final day here of the second test between Australia and Pakistan. Australia in a very good position indeed. We've lost a lot of overs throughout this test match due to a few rain interruptions, but today has been absolutely stunning. We're now looking out upon a sun-drenched MCG. The ground looks absolutely beautiful. There's a few clouds in the sky, but for the most part, it's been sunny throughout the day. Australia at the start, they led by 22 to Pakistan. Smith was on 100, Stark on 7, and they played quite beautifully to lead Pakistan ahead of putting them in before lunch. Pakistan now trail by 175, and Australia have also picked up a wicket, and that was the one of Sami Aslam, who was bowled by Hazelwood. It was a bit of a tentative prod by him. He played onto his stumps. He went for two. Azhar Ali and Babar Azam unbeaten as they went into lunch, but Australia in a very good position indeed. I've got Kerry O'Keefe alongside me. It was a wonderful innings from Steve Smith, of course. He was not out at 165 at the end of that, but it was very much Mitchell Stark with the assault.
Oh, it was, and he started at the start of the day, just teed off against the spin of Yasir Shah, and then he turned his attention to the faster bowlers. He led the charge. Smith helped him and clinically took apart with proper cricket shots. Some of Mitchell Stark's blows weren't textbook, but they just kept clearing the rope. So Australia have played this perfectly, Asia. They just have this big lead. They can bowl behind it without a care in the world. Boundaries won't hurt them. And they have the momentum. They wanted Sami Aslam before lunch. They got him. They know that Yunus Khan and Misbahul Haq are awaiting. They have to get past Azhar Ali, the first innings hero. But there's more than a big chance they'll get to Yunus and Misbah, whose tours are on the line, really. Then Asad, of course, Asad Shafiq at six. He'll be a problem. Safraz is a fighter. The tail will be very tired. They've got through a lot of overs. And if Australia could have them five or six down, they could crash through. They have 66 overs remaining. So there's plenty of time to effect a victory here. The Pakistan tour on the line. If they go to Sydney 2-0 down, the series is over, of course. Not much to play for.
That's the voice of Kerry O'Keefe. Pakistan, they trail by 175. Australia have already picked up one wicket before lunch. And we're here on day five at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Now, you would have heard his voice a few times within that package. And throughout the course of both test matches that we've had, so far here on Triple M, we've been getting to know the team. And I'd like to welcome now to the commentary box Gus Warland, current host of Triple M Grill Team Breakfast Show in Sydney. It's been wonderful to have you here. Your voice has been amazing. Loved your excitement and enthusiasm when it comes to calling this wonderful game of cricket. But I'd love to know, Gus, where did your interest first come about in this wonderful game?
Well, I suppose for me, and thank you so much, it's been great getting to know all you guys, and you know, sitting there with Kerry O'Keefe is just, you know, something I never thought would happen. So he's an absolute legend in my eyes, and everyone's been great. My mum sent me an email yesterday saying, I like what you're doing with the ex-cricketers, you know, having a bit of fun with them, but always remember and respect that they've done a wonderful job, and that's why we love cricket so much. And I'm very, very aware of making sure we have fun, but we understand and appreciate and respect what our experts have had to say. But I suppose that's where it comes from. For me, for my mum, my dad wasn't in the family, so she was around all the time and she took me to all the games. I played myself, a lot of my best friends. I got married when I was 26, and eight of the Aussies that were there were from my first 11 A's cricket team at Knox Grammar School. So team sport for me has always been important. I've always loved it. I was okay at playing it. I played first 11 at school, and I still play now for the mighty Monavale Mullets in B grade in beach cricket on the northern beaches, and I've just always loved it. And to get an opportunity to come and commentate for Triple M has been amazing.
And of course, you went to Knox Grammar School with your best mate Hugh Jackman. Not that we know, because you never ever talk about it.
Wow.
No.
Throwing under the bus. You're right. Yep.
Who?
He's an actor, Kerry. He's half decent. He's Wolverine. Logan out on 3rd of March 2017. Yeah, no, Jacko and I went to Pimble Pub together first, then Knox Prep, and then senior school. We started school together and we finished our modern history exam in 1986 together. Went to the Greengate Pub in Killara and got hammered together, and then we went to England, and then we did our uni together, and then, yeah, we're still great mates now. So, yeah, I've been very lucky, and of course his life has gone on this incredible journey, but the thing about him, he's exactly the same bloke as he was. Kerry, I know you've spent some time with Jacko.
He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And the reason we heard Gus so much on the highlight packages is the fact that he just sits in the commentator's chair. The only time you get on is when he goes to the gentleman's.
I like how you just had to change your word there, Kerry.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. It's brilliant. If you're just tuning in, Pakistan 1-6 here at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. We're at lunch on the final day of Australia-Pakistan. Pakistan trailing by 175 and Australia in a very, very good position to actually win this game of cricket, given the collapses that we witnessed of Pakistan over the years. But they do have some quality cricketers in their lineup, and Azhar Ali and Babar Azam will be out to bat after lunch. We've got Gus Warland here. We're speaking to him about his interest in cricket. And your first kind of, meeting with cricket in the media was your reality TV show, and Aussie Goes Barmy.
Yeah, that's right. Aussie Goes Barmy. Basically, you know, don't like to talk about it, but my best mate Hugh Jackman and I were at Lord's in 2005 when we won the first test match in that wonderful series that, of course, you stinking Poms ended up winning 2-1. But we went out that night with the players, and Jacko and I had this sort of thought about some sort of TV show. He had a production company called Seed, and he was looking to green light a few Australian productions. That's what he came back with his wife Deborah Lee to do. And Foxtel picked it up. So we did an Aussie Goes Barmy, which was me living with the Barmy Army, those English supporters that, you know, are so passionate. And I sat with them for the entire 5-test series. We won 5-0, had all those retirements. And that show went really, really well. It was sort of a mix of travel and sport and fun. And the Australian cricketers, actually, a lot of characters in that team. And they came and on the show and they enjoyed it for no money at all. We just sort of basically had a camera over our shoulder doing our best. And that was sold to 18 different countries, and that allowed us to do an Aussie Goes Bolly, which was the same in India, then an Aussie Goes Calypso. So for a couple of years there, all I did was watch cricket around the world, getting paid, getting, you know, on the source and having heaps and heaps of fun. And so that's when I realised perhaps I could sort of mix up my love for cricket and media. And then Triple M came a-knocking with the Grill Team, which is the new breakfast show 8 years ago, and I've been on that ever since. And now it's lovely to come back. And now we've got the rights for, you know, the cricket for this series and for the Ashes. Well, you know, this has all been a bit of a dress rehearsal, hasn't it, to see if we can do it properly when the Ashes comes around.
So you did the Barmy, the Bolly and the Calypso. Gus, you knocked around with the Barmy Army nocturnally.
Yes.
How physically demanding was that?
Oh, well, I started 108 and finished the series at 143 kilos. That's true. 35 kilos I put on in 9 weeks.
Wow.
I can't remember going to bed.
That's half my body weight.
I can't remember going to bed without some either barbecue or chili sauce dripping down my lip with a kebab stain on the front and just burping like 10, 12 beers, four of those which were totally unnecessary. But that's just what they do, and what they continue to do is a few people come with the first few tests, a few people come to Perth, and then everyone comes Sydney and Melbourne. So they continually had sort of new soldiers turning up, and I was the Australian soldier, like an Anzac, just trying to get myself through the series. And even though we had all those awesome moments with, you know, I was sitting with you,
yes.
Kerry, when Warnie got his 700th and at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, and Gilly getting the just one ball away from the quickest 100 ever at the time, and all those wonderful moments, it was really hard on the body. You know, I remember my wife hadn't seen me for about 8 weeks, and she came for Christmas and New Year, and she didn't recognise me when she got off the plane with the kids. She just thought, who's that fat thingy Bob?
And,
babe, love you, babe. And she's like, oh, my God. And we'd been going together for so long, there's no need to sugarcoat it. It's like, oh, my God, you're fat, you're disgusting. Babe.
So for Christmas dinner,
murder a beer, darling.
For Christmas dinner that year, just a salad, was it?
Yeah, just a salad, a couple of Brussels sprouts because she's a Pom.
But, mate, you had to infiltrate the Barmy Army, and you did. They embraced you, didn't they?
They did.
I mean, I spent that afternoon with you, and yeah. They loved you.
Yeah, it was great. They were a really good bunch of blokes, and I think I realised straight away that they were just there having a holiday, and the cricket's really just an excuse. Mm. And I embraced that early, and heaps of Aussie blokes came up to me and said, what are you doing singing the Barmy Army song or whatever? I said, mate, they're good blokes, and they're trying to bring a bit of atmosphere to Australian Test grounds, which do lack a bit of atmosphere at the best of times. So I love the fact, and they bring so much money to every city as well. They're all flying in. They're spending a fortune. I mean, they just get on it. From ball one, they are just on it. They have so much fun, and I really enjoyed them. I'm still close mates with quite a few of them now.
You would be. And, mate, you went on to Australia Goes Bolly, the Indian tour, Australia in India, and I remember watching one of those episodes and enjoyed it immensely.
Thank you.
But it was at the height of Monkey Gate, and you were so offended by a call from the Indian crowd towards, was it
Andrew Simons.
Andrew Simons out on the field.
That's right.
That I thought it was almost fisticuffs.
Oh, it was going to be too. And Maddie Lang, who was the cameraman, who was sort of small enough to be able to sort of sit in the seats around me without getting in anyone else's way, he was filming and he said to me, Gus, I think this is going to start, you know, firing up. And there was a whole bay to us, but we're in an area which had security sort of barbed wire fencing. In the end, I was up against the fence and I was giving it to the Indian guys who were turning on me, and the fence was sort of moving in our direction. And Maddie Lang said, mate, we've got to get out of here. So we end up running and jumping over the front of the stand onto the field. And then we started the conversation again. They couldn't jump over that bigger fence. Wow. But I remember thinking, well, if there was no fence here, they would have ripped us apart. They were so fired up. They thought that Andrew Simons had sort of badly treated Sachin Tendulkar. And I thought, what are you talking about? You guys are the ones that are doing the wrong thing here. And I wasn't going to let anyone tell me any differently. So I got stuck in and I was rage. I'm a very sort of soft, you know, I'm not at all fiery. But that really got me going because they were racially hating him, and that's no word of a lie. That's exactly what they did, and Channel 9 picked up on that, and we ended up sending them the footage, and it was in a rain delay. Nico did something here on the cricket show, and they played it, and our show went from a couple hundred thousand viewers to nearly 700,000 viewers that night because people were really interested, and that was the starting point for what we then saw in Sydney a year later. You
Indeed.
Know, Tendulkar's word against Simon's rule, but I was there, and I know that Simon's hadn't done anything wrong.
And I do recall, call girls, that you went to an Indian massage parlour and they, the full massage body, and they put something over your todger.
They did. They put me like a wrap, if you like, just over the todger. But there was two blokes. It was a large wrap.
It looked like a taco?
It was sort of one straight up the buttocks and then round the front bit. And then they put me on my back and I had two blokes massaging, one the top, one the bottom, hot oils. And one bloke's little finger was just loitering in and around the anus. And every little while it just sort of flicked. And I've got to tell you, it didn't feel horrible.
It got so close to the todger.
too much information.
What they had actually done beforehand was get me into the Indian moonshine. I had two bottles of this. What I can describe to you is like a solo, which was sort of without fizz, but unbelievably alcoholic. So I was pretty much off my tits before I even started. And then, anyway, that was a really interesting afternoon. I don't think anything happened. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Wow. 5 kilos goes barmy, then the todger exposed, and then you went to the West Indies with Calypso and the Ganj took over.
My entire crew were pretty much off their faces the entire time.
You were clean, though, which was good.
I don't like all that sort of stuff, but sometimes you're sitting in the crowd and this bloke has got such a massive sort of bong on the go that it's just drifting like it's a bushfire through the thing, and you're like...
And you've got to breathe.
And the bloke sort of offered it to me. It was like him offering me sort of like a baseball bat in size. Okay, man, it's not my bag, baby, I said to him. And he sort of looked at me like that. And then it just wafted. And I'm like, jeez.
Wow. Fit to that really well.
My dad's on the medical marijuana at the moment. And he was like, oh, how good's this? So I must try it one day.
Brilliant stuff. You're listening to Gus Wallen, who's telling us all about his experiences around the world in cricket. We've got Kerry O'Keefe here. Gus giving us a little insight into his experiences in cricket and the media all around the world. It's been great having you here with us in the commentary box, and it's been wonderful to listen to you and your excitement and your enthusiasm for the game. But I want to know, what's next for Gus Warland?
Well, I suppose for me, the grill team keeps tricking along in Sydney. I love that. I work with Matty Johns and Mark Geyer and Chris Page and Emma Friedman. We've got a good team there, and on and off the field, if you like. We're really a close-knit group, so we've got another year together. And then, of course, you know, like everything, it's negotiation time. But I really love it, and I think we'll hopefully be together for a few more years. Been together 8 years nearly, so that for me, and obviously love to be a part of Triple M's Call of the Ashes next year. And I did a show called Man Up on the ABC, which was all about masculinity and how masculinity around Australia is killing our young men at the moment, which was very, very emotional and took a real toll on me personally. But you know, it's been so well received. And I've loved it, and I'm in negotiations at the moment with the ABC to do something again for next year's Mental Health Week. So I'll be talking to them in January. So it's going to be full again, but wife and three children, and lots of stuff for me to just develop myself, just to keep trying to be as healthy as possible. And so that'll keep me going for the next 12 months or so.
Isher and Nez, the reviews of this show, Man Up, have been absolutely stunning. And it's on iView, and I intend to watch it. But people have come up to me and said, this was as good a work as you've done.
Mm.
So I'm certainly proud of that.
I'm very proud of it. Thank you, Kerry. Yeah, no, it's a very important bit of work. And if anyone out there missed it, it is on iView, as you said. And there's also a website called manup.org you can go to, and you can get it all completely for free anywhere around the world. And if anyone's got a man in their life, a boy, a young man, an old man in their life, please watch it and understand that men, it's okay for men not to be okay. You know, it's okay to show emotion, and it's okay for us not to have all the answers all the time. And men need to understand that too, because you know, a lot of the time we're trying to bluff our way through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Gus Wallen with us here on Triple M Sport. It's great to hear that it is available all around the world, because it has become an issue, certainly over in the UK as well. And it's something that's probably not talked about enough, and important that we are, you know, giving it the time that it deserves.
It's a taboo subject. There's no doubt about it. People do it in whispers. People talk about it, you know, and it is a difficult topic to talk about. No doubt about it. But, all around the world, it's a major problem. And we lose 8 young, beautiful Australian men every single day. So think about that for a moment. 8 a day. We lose 300 or 400 to the road toll, 3,000 to suicide. So let's change what we've been doing and try to get those numbers down. But thanks for the time today. It's been fun reminiscing. Mm. And I'm going to go get something to eat, and I'll be back for the first ball after lunch.
Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing you there. And as Kerry mentioned, Nez is now here with us. Nez, a bit of speculation over what the squad might be for the SCG test. What do you know?
Well, there's growing evidence that Nathan Lyon will miss out for the SCG test, and that Stephen O'Keefe will be picked as the spinner. Stephen O'Keefe hasn't made his way to Adelaide with the Sixers squad as expected, and he is now due to play in that SCG test over the top of Lyon. The chances of Lyon playing now rest with if they pick two spinners. That's what all the whispers are. There was a very telling moment last night in the presser with Steve Smith, the captain. Let's have a listen to what he had to say, because it was quite revealing.
In your mind, is Nathan an automatic inclusion at the SCG?
I'm not sure. I guess that's up to the selectors. But he obviously hasn't bowled at his best in the last couple of this game. It's always difficult bowling to lots of right-handers. I think they've only got two in their lineup, and they play spin pretty well. So it's never easy bowling against, I guess, subcontinent players when the ball isn't doing a lot off the wicket as well. I guess we're just looking for Nathan to just be a little bit more consistent in the way he bowls.
So Nathan Lyon has taken just 9 wickets this summer for 600 runs at an average of 67. So he certainly has struggled to perform consistently, as Steve Smith has said. Now, the main question mark over Stephen O'Keefe is his calf muscle. He has ongoing issues with that, and that's basically why he missed out in Adelaide, because it was highly and widely tipped that Stephen O'Keefe would get the nod ahead of Lyon in Adelaide, but he did his calf, which ruled him out of contention. Now, Stephen O'Keefe, he's played 3 test matches, but his only one at home was a really big talking point last year, because it was at his home at the SCG, but it was rained out, so he barely got to play. He took 3 for 63 in the end at the SCG against the West Indies, but he'll certainly be looking forward to performing well in his home deck.
Is there the option of maybe going with a spinning all-rounder, someone like a Travis Head or a Glenn Maxwell?
For sure, and that is the question at the moment. So we wait and see. We'll find out today what that squad is. And I must say that we are still speculating. There's no certainty that Stephen O'Keefe is in this side, but that's what everything is pointing towards at the moment.
Okay, yeah. Nereli Meadows here speaking to Isha Guha on Triple M Sport and just giving us a little update on what the squad might be for the SCG test. Okay, moving on to BBL action now. Bit of a close game last night.
Yeah, it was a thriller. A 6 off of the last ball from Ashton Agar won it for the Scorchers at Etihad Stadium up against the Renegades. Now, the big story out of this one, though, is that Dwayne Bravo, he looks likely to miss the rest of the tournament, unfortunately. He hurt his left hamstring after his left foot just got stuck in the Etihad Stadium turf. So he's having scans this morning. We're yet to find out the result of those, but he had to be taken off on a stretcher. And the fact is, the tournament is only, 4 to 6 weeks long, so, and that's a hamstring, so very unlikely that we'll see him again, which is a massive blow, not just for the Renegades, but for the competition. You add in the fact that James Pattinson still has that slight hamstring, and they're not sure when he will return, if it will be in time for the Melbourne derbies, and then of course our own Peter Siddle isn't back until after the derby, so it's starting to really stack up for the Renegades, really painful for their Big Bash campaign. The other point to note out of that, Sean Marsh, obviously we're looking at his form as he's returned from that broken finger. He made just 7. His brother, meanwhile, in the all-rounder discussion for the test scenario, he made 34 and took 1 for 29. Maxi Klinger, though, he was the star, 72 off 55.
And what have we got coming up tonight? I believe we're up at the Gabba, are we? The hardest working bloke in cricket at the moment, Howie, who was with us yesterday, he's up there. And I believe KP is in the box.
Yeah, that's right, for the Heat up against the Hurricanes. So it'll be another cracker. I mean, the Big Bash just keeps on delivering. So it'll be good to hear Howie again. And I'll just give you an update as well out of South Africa. They're up against Sri Lanka in the test match. Now, Sri Lanka need another 248 runs with 5 wickets in hand, stumps on day 4. South Africa declared at 6 for 406. So Sri Lanka are now 5 for 240. They're into their middle order. Angelo Matthews is not out on 58 and De Silva not out on 9.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, Nereli. Just give us an update on everything that's happening in cricket.
Gus Wallen here. I've got Ish and also Peter Siddle with us, with 5 wickets required by Australia, with Pakistan trailing by 90 runs. So there's lots of opportunities over the next couple of hours when we come back from the tea break that we can go through, and we're going to surmise that over the next few minutes or so. But take us back, Ish, to the start of play today for the Australians, because it looked draw, draw, draw. But now,
absolutely,
got lots of exciting options.
Well, there were 2 potential results, one of a draw and one of an Australian win. And it had been very frustrating up until this point because of all the rain interruption and the loss of overs across the course of the 4 days. Coming in today, we knew it was going to be a beautiful day. It's now completely clear. There's not a cloud, maybe a tiny little cloud in the sky. Mm-hmm. The sun's out and it's been shining. It's warm out there, and Australia really capitalised. So 22 lead. Smith was on 65. He was on 100 and added 65 to 165. Another brilliant knock from him. But the match-winning innings came from Mitchell Starc, because he really tucked into the Pakistani bowlers. Lots of lofted sixes and getting down on one knee with sweep slogs of Yasir Shah. 84 off 91 deliveries, 3 fours and 7 sixes. That really got Australia into a great position. 624 and a fabulous lead to stick Pakistan in ahead of lunch. They picked up the wicket of Sami Aslam early on. And then, of course, Babar Azam in the fifth over after lunch. Nathan Lyon's been flying since then. A man under a little bit of pressure ahead of the SCG. He's taken a 3-for-21. Misbahul Haque gone for another duck in a similar situation where Peter Siddle was playing in that match in Sydney in 2010. Pakistan under the pump in exactly the same situation. Misbahul Haque batting at six, duck off two balls. And then Asad Shafiq, another important wicket for Australia, because he is really someone who can stick out there and be patient at the crease. As it stands now, they've got Azhar Ali, who can also do that on 34, but Sarfraz Ahmed and the rest of the batsmen to come in, they're all counter-attacking batsmen. So it's going to be interesting, this final session.
Well, a few options, Peter Siddle, as you join us. At the moment, they're trailing by 90. Let's say Pakistan get bowled out, but they go past that figure. We've only got a certain amount of overs left in the day, so you could get a scenario where they're 35 ahead and Australia's got to chase them down in four or five overs. So then we've got like a mini 2020 match, and of course Renshaw won't open the batting. It'll be Warner and, you know, perhaps Maddison. He might be able to hit the winning runs and get some confidence. So there's so much fun to look forward to in the next couple of hours.
Yeah, there is. There's loads of scenarios. And the thing with it is there is, yeah, remaining 37 overs with, if needed, the 15 overs in the last hour. But obviously time's going to play a part there, so we're not going to be able to get all those in. But there is still a lot of overs left for cricket here, and ideally for Australia, they bowl them out in under the 90 runs, but we do have Sarfraz out there, like we said, who is an aggressive player. We know their tail do like to play their shots, so they can quite easily, yeah, knock these runs off and get in front. But yeah, Australia won't be worried about having to go out there and chase any, as long as they've got a few overs to get out there. Davey Warner, yeah, probably open up with Maddo or, you know, Steve Smith and Petey Hanscom. There's plenty of options there to chase down some quick runs. But yeah, ideally the boys will come back out with a little bit of confidence now. They'll be up and about in the change rooms right now, knowing and smelling that victory is very close. So one more wicket here and you can get into the bowlers and really open it up.
Sids, can I ask you for a moment? You're a part of this squad, so we're hoping you're going to go to India. All depends on how your body is, but you're a current test player. So what is Steve Smith saying now? Who's talking in the dressing room now? Is it a coach? Are people sort of sitting there in their own company? What's happening in the Australian dressing room right now?
I reckon the boys would be up and about. They'd be really up and about. A lot of energy in the room right now. They've gone from a position at the start of the day where you talk about a test win, but maybe that just won't happen. Mm. But the way they've played throughout that first session was amazing. And then how they came about and they've done the business now with the ball. They've been patient, they've been accurate, and they've just built pressure. And what happens when teams are under pressure with runs on the board, they're behind the eight ball, that, you know, you can generate wickets, and it's shown. Nathan Lyon has been superb in that session to really, he started off accurately, building that pressure, but then was able to get a few wickets. And look at his energy now that he's up and about, the confidence he's got. He's bowling superbly at the moment. And I think with, you know, the quicks have been pretty fresh, bowling from that one end, that they can come out and have a good crack at it.
Hey, can I ask you just for a moment, Nathan Lyon, has he already been sort of penciled out of the Sydney Test match? So the selectors who are going to make a call in a couple of hours, are they now going, okay, maybe that's not what we're going to do, and they're going to reselect this team on the back of him? At the moment, got 3-for. He might end up with, let's say, 6 or 7, and he wins Australia a Test match.
Well, absolutely. You cannot rule him out of that next Test match now. SCG, got the India tour coming up. He's performed well here. He's bowled some good lines, got that loop, and perhaps changed his pace a little bit as well, and really got under the skin of the Pakistanis. So on a pitch that actually will be more conducive to turn as well, at the SCG, you've got to give him the opportunity to prove himself.
Pakistan are 5-for-91. They trail Australia by 90, and they've got another 2 or so hours to be able to negotiate. And Australia believe at the moment that they're up and about. Peter Siddle with me. He's just said the dressing room in Australia at the moment will be thinking positively about a result, and that means a Test Series victory for Australia. And we're sitting here at the MCG. It's absolutely beautiful, not a cloud in the sky. And if you're in and around the Melbourne area, please come down, because Cricket Australia and also the MCG have opened up the ground for free for this last session. So an opportunity to see some really good cricket for absolutely no money at all. And that's a really lovely thing, Peter Siddle, that the Cricket Australia and MCG have done.
It is. It's a great opportunity. Like you said, the sun is out. It's beautiful weather, and this could be an unbelievable last session. 5 wickets to get, 90 runs behind Pakistan, and still the chance that Australia might have to bat at the back end to chase down a few with maybe not many overs. So still plenty of action to be had here.
Ish, how good would that be if they go past the total? They trail by 90 at the moment. Let's say they get to 120 and Australia has to come out and get 30 runs in 2.5 overs or 3 overs, something like that.
See a boom boom as well with David Warner at the top there. Yeah, I mean, certainly for Australian fans, it'll be amazing. They'll be able to see an Australian win, a series win, especially after everything that's happened in the last few months or so. They'll be back on track, I guess, for next year and what's to come.
And looking forward to Sydney as well, and then on to India. And of course, we'll find out that third test team as soon as we find out about it. You'll know about it too on Triple M. But let's now go to a package put together by Jules Schiller with what we learnt today.
Well, it's day four, and what have we learned so far? Well, Test cricket is kind of like Daryl Summers. Every time you write it off, it pops back up and hypnotises you. Now, I'm not popular enough to be invited to a swingers' party, but I reckon I came close watching Mitchell Starc and Steve Smith hit the ball with more energy than Charlie Sheen on a Colombian Kentucky tour. Australia had a first innings lead of 180 and took to the Pakistani openers like Clive Palmer to a sizzler dessert bar chocolate moose trough. Sammy Aslam looked about as likely as another series of Zumbo's Just Desserts. And Yunus Khan, more like Yunus Can't. Then, much like a proctologist's glove dipped in deep heat, Nathan Lyon is on fire. And with Pakistan collapsing, much like anyone who's ever had a proctological visit, we'll spend the last session on the edge of our seats.
Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Yes, Pakistan first innings, 9 declared for 443. Australia repeated, 8 for 624. Then they bowled out Pakistan for 163. And then the end, Starc ended up with 4 for 36, Merv.
Yes, and in that third session, he had figures of 7.2 overs, 3 for 13. And thank you for that, Chu, man. You have been outstanding this test match.
Thanks again, Merv. You're loving it.
No, you're killing them. But Mitch Starc
there. You two have got to get a room, I would imagine.
Mitch Starc there was absolutely fantastic. And take nothing away from Nathan Lyon. He was good. Three wickets for 33 or 14 overs. Jackson Bird, 1 for 46. He contributed. And Hazelwood, who was outstanding in the first innings, 2 for 39 off 13 overs. But Mitch Starc, he was always going to be the danger for the Pakistanis. And you felt that if Isaiah Ali got out, that Australia would run through him. And that, in fact, was the case, Gus.
Yeah, it certainly was. I'm sitting here with Merv Hughes and Peter Siddle. And Pete, at some stage you'll get down in that dressing room with your squad because you're still a part of it. You're just injured at the moment and obviously hoping to get back for the Renegades and then in for the India Test Tour. How are you feeling? How are the boys? What will you do in terms of celebrations tonight?
So it's going to be exciting. I think, you know, I spoke to them a lot this morning around the rooms. They were pumped up, excited for what the day held, and they went about it in a positive way from the start, and I think it put them in a position before lunch to be able to declare and to get out there bowling and get the result at the end of the last session. That's a great win, but nah, they'll be loving that. They've won the series now.
Have a few beers tonight?
Yeah, the boys will have a few beers, but you still got to look forward to the next test match. I know it is close, but the boys will have a few beers. They'll enjoy it in the rooms, and no doubt the song, when they sing that tonight, it'll be loud and definitely very proud.
And Sids, if you're down there, will you have a couple of like banana smoothies or something?
Nah, probably a couple of coconut waters tonight. I've had a few smoothies today, but on the coconut waters tonight. But nah, great effort. What a test match, and well done, boys.
Well, the relief on Stephen Smith's face and how much joy now as he's cuddling Hazelwood, cuddling Bird. We're going to go down to Channel 9 now. Ian Healy talking to Mitch Starc.
Yeah, it's it finished a lot better than it started. But yeah, look, it's fantastic for us to get that result. We always thought if we could find a way to get ourselves in a position to be ahead of the game and try and find a way to win, the belief was there and it was a fantastic way to finish.
What was there any moment where you dared to dream of that win?
I think we always had that belief, and I think we kept everyone going out there having that belief that if we took those chances, we'd create enough of them to get 10 chances today. And look, that's a fantastic way to finish Boxing Day Test.
It was a brilliant team bowling performance, wasn't it? Everyone had impact when the captain put you in the attack.
Yeah, look, we knew we only had two sessions to get those 10 wickets, and look, I think together as a bowling unit we've done really well. The last two test matches we've had a pretty heavy workload, but to finish that way on day five of a Boxing Day Test and win a series, it's fantastic effort from the whole team.
You're going to look back on this day, you've got your batting to think about as well. How good was that first up?
I was just trying to get out of the way of a few short ones, but yeah, just trying to hang in there with Smithy and have a good time, and got a few sixes away as well.
You said you caught one on the shoulder. Give us a look at your bruise, please.
It's there somewhere. That's all right.
Yeah, a little trophy for your runs and your wickets. Congratulations, mate. Forfa. Well done.
Thanks, yes. Cheers.
I think Slats is around here too.
Oh, I certainly am. I've got Peter Hanscom, Victorian boy, first Boxing Day Test match. How good is Test cricket?
Mate, it's unbelievable. Great start, obviously, to a Test career, but couldn't be more happy for the boys the way they've played over the last few Tests, and obviously today has been unbelievable.
It is, and you have to keep believing.
Yeah, exactly right. That was the motto we had today, just to come out, keep believing in ourselves, knowing that if a few things went our way, we took all our chances, we were a massive chance to win this game.
Good personal contribution with your half century, but it was your bat pad catching today that was outstanding, the second one in particular.
Yeah, second one was a bit lucky. Happened to move into the right spot, hit my hand and bobbled up. Like, there'll be another day where that'll just go straight past me, or it'll bobble somewhere else. So I was just happy that I was able to get the rebound and celebrate with the boys.
Mate, it's boyhood experience, Boxing Day Test match. I know you know this ground, but first Test match here. What about that experience?
Yeah, that's been amazing. It's been great just to be out here in front of an amazing crowd for 5 days. You know, you walk down that race and there's a cheer, and you come out here and sing the anthems on Boxing Day. Like, it's goosebumps stuff, and it was great.
And a series win off to Sydney now, so that's another new experience for you.
Yeah, a series win will be nice. It's going to be a good song, I reckon, after this game. So looking forward to seeing what happens there.
Good on you, Peter. Well played, mate. Back to your heels.
Yeah, thanks. I'm with Nathan Lyon. Lyon-o, congratulations, mate. You led the boys into that remarkable victory today.
Yeah, thanks, Hills. That's something pretty special, that is. I think the bowling unit really stood up today, and to go out there and take 10 wickets and defend 180 runs is something pretty special.
That's right. You left yourselves a lot to do, just 16 or 17 minutes before lunch, and you got it done.
Yeah, the credit goes to all the boys. And the way Smithy went about it, he's a really good captain. We love playing under him. And to go out there and get that job done is quite satisfying. It's up there for one of my best Test matches, that's for sure.
Yeah, now to have the series wrapped up after two Tests, does that take a little bit of pressure off the way you can play in Sydney?
Oh, no, we definitely want to go out and win 3-0 now. So we're going to celebrate tonight, that's for sure. But we're going to turn up to Sydney and train hard and then go into that. So
yeah, we're having a look at your dismissals there, mate. You know, changing everything, your lines, your paces and the amount of spin. It was good stuff.
Yeah, we thought we had to do something out there, but there wasn't a great deal of spin, so we had to try and come up with a few different things. So credit to Steve Smith and all the boys who held on the catches, I guess.
Yeah, Pete Hanscom, that was a ripper where he went with Shafiq as he approached at you, advanced at you.
Yeah, brilliant catch by Purdy. He's been working hard in there, so I'm just fortunate enough to get him a couple of chances in there.
Yeah, now what's important to your bowling to have that success? 3 for 30 when the team needs. What are you looking to achieve?
We're just looking to go out there as a team and get a win for Australia. That's the best thing about this bowling unit. It doesn't matter who takes the wickets. We're going out there to take 20 wickets and win games of cricket for Australia. If that means Josh takes all 20 or Birdie takes 19 and Mitchie takes one, who cares? If we're winning games of cricket for Australia, I'm more for that.
That's right. And Starkey said it was a matter of just believing for the whole innings that we can win this.
Yeah, it's all about belief. I learned that a couple of years ago against India in Adelaide. And if we stayed patient long enough, it would turn. So lucky enough, we got a good result today.
Well, you cut it to the wire, that's for sure. Talk about patience. What about your captain's batting? He just can't get out.
Good. So hopefully he keeps going in Sydney.
Well, he will love that. Pakistan, I think, fancied them their chances in Sydney. And so now that can't be as impactful as a one-all draw in the series. But they'll be a handful again, and you've only got 3 days before it starts.
Yeah, definitely. They're a world-class side, so we need to go recover well after this celebration tonight, but we have to turn up to play in Sydney. They're a world-class outfit, so we're going to have to be on our game.
I want to hear of a very good song tonight, Lino.
Without a doubt.
Very good, mate. Great effort by you and the whole bowling unit. Congratulations.
Well, there you go, and a big thank you to Channel 9. We'll stick with Michael Slater. He's with Josh Hazlewood.
Mate, can you believe this?
It's unbelievable. I mean, rocking up today, just don't know what to expect, really. You know, the boys batted beautifully at the start of the day, led by, obviously, Smithy. And, you know, we thought we were a chance if we get a couple early, and that's what happened.
The pitch didn't deteriorate, though, so we were saying another batting day if Pakistan want to bat well. So how did you get those 10 wickets?
Yeah, obviously, it's a pretty good wicket here, and it doesn't really break up. So, you know, it is tough to get the wickets, and I think a little bit of reverse swing from from us, the quicks especially, and obviously Gazza does his part every time. So I thought as a unit, superb again.
You are. You've been bowling particularly well as a fast bowling unit. Reverse swing, the key. How did you keep yourself motivated when it wasn't happening for you?
Yeah, I mean, we did end up getting those wickets pretty quickly, but I thought, as soon as we could crack one end open and get the bowlers in, with the ball reversing a little bit, it's quite tough to start. So that was always the plan in the back of the mind.
What's the body feeling like? You've only got 3 days off.
Yeah, it's a tight turnaround this test, but the body's feeling pretty good. One test to go, so hopefully be all good.
And Nathan Lyon, he is still the singer of the team song, right?
He is. He definitely is, yeah.
Wow, it's going to be a big night tonight.
Should be good. Celebrate a good win.
Enjoy it, Josh. Well played, mate.
Cheers, mate.
They're a happy bunch, and they should be. Who would have thought they'd win this test match? We're going to take a quick break.
Yes, and thank you to Channel 9, Michael Slater and Ian Healy down there. And wonderful to have the access to those bowlers. Gus Warland here with Merv Hughes and Peter Siddle. And Australia has won, if you just joined us. They bowled out Pakistan for 163 to win by an innings and 18 runs. And Australia have now won their last 11 consecutive tests at home against Pakistan and the last 8 series as well. So they dominate Pakistan here in Australia. Merv Hughes, how excited are you?
Oh, absolutely pumped. It's been fantastic. Davey Warner for mine, 144 run a ball, got the game moving along and gave the Australians an opportunity.
Merv, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off there, but Nerole Meadows, who's done a wonderful job. She's got Buff Lehman. Nerole, over to you, Dar.
Darren Lehman, you almost had no right to win this game, yet you did. Talk us through the emotions, because that hug with the skipper afterwards was magical to see.
Yeah, really excited for the players. They worked really hard in this game. Obviously, Pakistan batted well in the first innings, but the way Davey Warner set us alight early on in that first innings and the way Stephen played and everyone batted around him gave us a chance today. Stark belted him all over the park for a bit, was handy and give us enough runs to actually bowl him out. And then the key was going to be obviously Nathan Lyon, who was brilliant to get those 3 wickets, especially in that middle session. And then the ball went reverse and the rest was done by the quick. So in terms of a performance, when you lose a day out of a game, it was pretty special from our boys on a really good wicket.
Nathan Lyon was a man under immense pressure and he delivered.
He did today. He was fantastic. He got the ball in the right areas. As we've always said, it's about being consistent with him and he did that today. He got the bounce, a couple of good catches and really got through the middle order.
Geez, tough to change a winning side, surely.
We'll have to wait and see, Nerole. Nice try.
Boys?
Big move up here in the box. Just a quick one to you. You must be pleased with the way the bowlers spread the load. You don't rely too heavily on one bowler. Mitch Stark got on the 4 wickets, but as you said, Lyon and Hazelwood chipped in and Jackson Bird were good too.
Yeah, they were good, mate. They're fantastic on a reasonably flat wicket, especially first innings you bowled, 120 odd overs, I suppose. And then today, we just had to give ourselves a chance. They had a day and a half off basically with the ball, and to back that up and get the series wrapped up now is pretty special. Great effort from all the bowlers and the fielders backed it up really well. Some great catches today.
And with the workload that the bowlers have been under, the back half of the Brisbane Test match, a big first innings here, will there be a view to maybe rest Hazelwood and Stark going into Sydney?
No. How was that for an answer?
Do you want to think about that at all, Darren?
No, I don't have to think about it, mate. It's test match cricket for your country, and we don't do that. So for us, it's a case, as long as they pull up all right and they're 100% fit, yep, they'll play. We'll worry about that. We've only got a short turnaround. They look pretty good at the moment as I'm standing out here. They've probably earned their cold, hard beer, and they'll recover well enough and see how they go.
Coach Sid's here, mate.
Hello, Sid's.
Great victory, Brundle. I loved watching that, so good work. On the bowlers, I'm with you. Don't rest any. Keep them going. They're going well. They're looking good out there. But what a match from Steve Smith, the captain. He's always under the pump whenever anything's going wrong. But, he stood up once again. Unbelievable with the bat, but just his captaincy in that back end with his changes and how he went about it.
Yeah, he was great, mate. He kept really calm, as he always does. The bowlers backed him up and he rotated him really well today. So for us, his record here at the MCG, in fact, his record overall was pretty bloody damn good. So he's really taken the leadership since Michael retired, and he's been great for the group. David Warner set us alight. So those two guys as senior players really, got things going for us in this game.
Yeah, we thank you very much, Darren Lehman, the Australian coach. And Nerole, thank you so much for your time. We're going to go to Channel 9 and the presentation. Mark Taylor's talking to the Pakistan skipper.
Especially after getting 444 runs in the first inning, That was a good total, but we could not bowl to disciplines and could not build any pressure. On the first day, 58 overs to 278 runs, I think that was where we lost all the momentum, and from there we just we were behind the game. And full credit to Australian batsmen, the way they batted. Even after that, Smith and Khwaja continued that, and Mitchell Starc today, and he just sums up the whole day.
Coming to the ground today, Australia, I think, were 22 runs in front. Did you fear you're in trouble today, or did you think you could get out of this game with at least a draw?
It's a funny game, and especially when you are under pressure, and you see that there can be only draw, or you can lose the game. That could just create a lot of problems for your side. I think we were thinking if we can get early wickets, a couple of wickets, then it will be easy for us. But anything over 100, you never know in the last game. Pressure sometimes just do certain things, but what happened with us. So we were thinking about that. Anything could happen. We have to play well. We have to bowl well first and then play well to save this game.
I suppose on the positive side, Azhar Ali, your opening batsman, had a terrific game, a double century here, 43 in the second innings. He's been one of the bright spots for you right throughout this tour.
Yeah, I think outstanding innings, especially in the first inning. The ball was doing and a lot of breaks. There was a little bit at the pitch at that time. Ball was seaming and swinging. Loads of concentration. He batted so well, left the ball so well, and some really marvelous short straight drives. In second inning, even under pressure, he played very well. And Asad Shafiq, another guy who's been playing really well. Sarfraz played well, but at the end, I think Test cricket is all about you have to win sessions. It's not about one inning. You need to bowl. You need to bowl well. You need to bat well in both innings, and that's we are not managing at the moment.
Well, you've got, 3 days until the Sydney Test. Obviously, the series is now over. What are you going to do in those 3 days to turn it round? I suppose, first and foremost, to try and bowl Australia out for something reasonable.
Yeah, that's the problem for us at the moment. I mean, without taking 20 wickets, it's difficult for you. We're going to go there, Sydney, what sort of wicket we got. And this is how cricket is. You really have to forget these sort of performances and stood up as a team and try to win the next game, try to perform well in the next game.
Oh, well, Miss Barwell, thank you very much for your time today. I wish you a happy new year, see you in Sydney. Ladies and gentlemen, the captain of Pakistan, Misbah Ul Haq. It's now my great pleasure to introduce the Commonwealth Bank player of the match. And this was probably a very tough one. Azhar Ali played particularly well. Mitchell Starc, some wickets here on day 5. David Warner also played very well for Australia. But the Commonwealth Bank player of the match is a very happy man today. It is the Australian captain, Stephen Smith. Ready? Stephen, I suppose the icing on the cake, runs for you to win a test match, which at the start of the day was going to be very tough to win, and to win a series.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good day. So, at the start of the day, it was, we spoke about batting for the first sort of 40 minutes and seeing how things went. And we didn't lose any wickets, so we could sort of put the foot down. I thought Starkey played particularly well to get his 80-odd and clear the fence several times. I think he broke the record for the MCG hitting 7 or 8 sixes. So, that really set us up to get 180 and give us an opportunity to bowl and get the ball reversing and things like that. It worked out really well.
When did you think you could win it? When you declared 5 down, 8 down, when did you think you had a real good sniff of winning this test match?
Yeah, we thought if we were able to get the ball to go reverse soon enough, while it was hard, it was always going to be hard work. it turned out to go. I thought Lino bowled really well to take a couple of wickets first up before the ball started to go. So, yeah, it was nice to have him four or five down when the ball started to reverse. And I guess that's when things sort of looked a little bit clearer. At about five down, when the ball was swinging and bowlers were pretty fresh and up and firing, they wanted to get the job done today. And credit to them, they got the ball in the right areas and, got the job done, which was the main thing.
Tell us what that moment's like when you win a test match and you win a series, when we all probably thought coming to today that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. It's an unbelievable feeling to see the boys in the huddle there. It's amazing, you know. When that ball went up in the air, you sort of got shivers going through your body, thinking, is this going to happen? And when Birdie held onto that catch, it was pretty surreal feeling to have now wrapped up the test series. But, you know, going to Sydney in a few days' time, we want to make it 3-0. So, hopefully we can do that.
Been a real comeback summer, though, hasn't it? Really, it didn't start very well, let's be honest, in Perth and Hobart. And now you've won three test matches in a row. Is there a real momentum building in that change room?
Yeah, look, I think we've got a lot of belief in the guys around at the moment, and guys are doing the hard yards to try and improve every day. And, you know, we've still got a long way to go. We're only a new team, and but it has been a great sort of transition. The guys have played beautifully the last couple of weeks and thoroughly deserve the accolades that they get. And, I'm just really proud of the way the boys came out here today and really wanted to win this game and wrap up the series. And, I'm just really pleased.
And your own form's not too bad either.
No, I'm hitting him okay. I felt for a while that I've been hitting him all right and just haven't been able to get that big score. So, yeah, it's nice to get 100 last week and back it up this week. I love batting here at the MCG. It's been a pretty good hunting ground for me. So can't wait to go to the SCG next week. It's, it's been a good one for me. So hopefully I can make it 3 in a row.
And what are we going to see there? Are we going to see this same team or are we going to see some possible changes with a different sort of deck?
I guess it'll depend on the conditions. SCG, I know in Shield cricket this year has been spinning quite a bit, so we'll sum things up there. But I'm just really pleased with the way these guys have come out in these first two test matches and played. It's been great, and to have wrapped up the series, I'm very happy.
Well, mate, congratulations on your form, the team's form, and winning the series, mate. Well done.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Yes, and a massive thanks to Channel 9 for those interviews. Really appreciate that. That's wonderful to hear it straight from the Australian captain, who's now got 17 test centuries, man of the match, averaging 60.63. My name's Gus Warren. I've got Merv Hughes, and I've got Peter Sitter with me. Yes, and we're loving rocking test cricket. Done two test matches, and Australia have won both of those, and they have won the test series against Pakistan. They bowled out the Pakistanis, 18 short of having to bat again. So an innings and 18 runs is the victory, and Stark in the end was the hero with 4 for 36. But Nathan Lyon certainly set it up, 3 for 33 earlier this morning. We turned up this morning, Merv Hughes and Peter Siddle, expecting a draw with Australia only a few runs ahead, but in the end, well, they did it quite easily with about 15 overs to spare.
You're expecting a draw.
What did you think?
You're expecting it.
Only expecting a win today.
Yeah, listen, oh, were you come, now? You two Victorians along. Now? You chipper chopping.
Oh, no. Look, we'll get the tape out. Let's roll the tape from this morning. Listen, Gusson, probably the Pakistanis came here thinking it was going to be a draw. And if you come with that attitude, you're on the back foot. The Australian team would have rolled up here thinking we're a real chance here. And especially after that first hour and a half, 2 hours where Smith and Stark got going and hit it to all over the park. They got a very handy lead. And once they got that lead, it was always going to be hard for the Pakistanis to hang on. They lost that wicket just before tea. They lost a wicket just after tea. They're 2 for 6, 3 for 63, 4 for 63, 5 for 89. And you could just feel if Azhar Ali got out, Australia's would have run all over it. So, listen, as Darren Lehman said, if you're listening before to that interview, the great thing about the Australian team is that they don't rely heavily on any one player. And especially with the bat, you've got Smith, you've got Warner that contributed, but Stark contributes. You've got a heap of contributors. With the ball, it was an even effort. Even Jackson Bird, I thought, bowled well and deserved better than his one wicket.
Yeah, he got 1 for 46. Sids, give us an insight now. You'll walk down into the shed. You're a part of this test squad, and back from injury, you'll hopefully be going to India. What will the boys be doing now, and what will you do tonight with only a 3-day turnaround to the New Year's test match in Sydney?
Yeah, it is a close turnaround, but the boys will enjoy this one. I think, all the talk after the last one, that Pakistan are going to fight back and really put it to them. I think to be able to get that done today in a match that was reduced so much by rain, I think that's testament to how well they did play. I think the performances with the bat from the leaders, obviously the captain, Steve Smith, vice-captain Davey Warner, Peter Hanscom, Mitchell Stark contributed there. But then the boys with the ball, all-round performance, amazing. They'll enjoy it. They'll have a few drinks. They'll sing that song. I think they'll love singing that song tonight. Another series win for the boys. And, you know, it was only a few tests ago where the side was up and down. You know, there was all this talk about the side, where they're going, they're down and out. But to, you know, bring in some new blood, some new faces, and the performance that they've put in over the last three test matches, you know, they're going places now. And I think they'll go to Sydney after they've enjoyed this one, enjoy this, go up to Sydney, but they'll definitely want to, you know, push for a 3-0 victory and keep this winning streak going.
Of course, we'll be there, Triple M, rocking Test cricket this series. Looking forward to doing that up in Sydney, Murphy's. In terms of the team, do you make any changes for that Sydney Test match? We will find out the team and give it to you as soon as we can, but has Lyon done enough to stay? Stephen O'Keefe looks like he's going to play as well. What are your thoughts? What would you do? You have been a selector. What would you do right now?
I must admit, I thought they may toy with resting Hazelwood and Stark with the heavy workload that they had, but when we asked that question to Darren Lehman, the coach, and a selector, it must be said, it was just an emphatic no. I mean, virtually no chance. If the players are right to go, they're going to go, and I think that's good for stability for the side, and winning habit is good habit. You don't want to go in and just think, okay, we're going to rest these players, but they might be sore, they might pull up a little bit sore, but certainly after this win, I thought they may have been a little bit tired after the workload. They had the back end of the Brisbane test, big first innings here, but 2 days off, Sids, does rest and recruit. And not so much just the physical side of things, but also the mental side of things, Gus, and that's an important thing. They're going to be up and about now, the bowlers. They've had a good win here, and for mine, if Pakistan lose the toss in Sydney and they bowl first in Sydney, it's going to be hard work for them because they've had the heavy workload here.
Well, we've just had a word from Neroli Meadows, who, of course, is down on the ground and she knows everything that's going on. She really does. She says that Miss Barr admits that he's considering retiring before the SCG test. So that's the Pakistan captain who got a second ball duck today. He's been in horrible form this particular series and he's 42 years of age. So we will follow that and no doubt Neroli will give us all the details once that's official. But at the moment, he's considering retiring before the SCG test. So there you go. But I want to thank you, Peter Siddle. I want to thank you, Merv Hughes, and everyone here that has been part of the Triple M commentary team. My name's Gus Wallen. We'll be back at the SCG in a few days' time, rocking Test cricket.
Triple M rocks Test cricket.